Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Well, here's a story. Maybe you read it in your local paper. It hasn't appeared much here in our local press in the Los Angeles area. The reason why I'm highlighting the city of Los Angeles in this story is that we have an NBA team here in town that's involved in the playoffs. They're called the Lakers, and there are a couple of prominent players, one by the name of Shaquille O'Neal and another by the name of Kobe Bryant, who may be useful to the United States Olympic team. But so far, we've got no commitment from either one of those gentlemen to play in the U.S. Olympic team, and I'm sure they have their reasons. We'll delve into those in a moment. We also have not been able to get a commitment from Jason Kidd of the New Jersey Nets, Kevin Garnett of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Tracy McGrady, I think, of the Orlando Magic. And what are these big, rough, tough guys afraid of? They're afraid of terrorism. They don't want to go over there. They might get blowed up. Once again, folks, the Phil Henry Show brings front and center the illusion versus the reality of professional sports, of athletes, of heroes. You know, them hero types. Once again, we bring front and center the difference between the posturing that many of these guys like to assume, the bad boy thing. I think they say the bad boys are back in Detroit. Is that right? Yeah, okay. How many of those guys are going over to play in the Olympics? What's the matter? You afraid that the Navy SEALs are going to let a guy pull a coal job? One of these brain surgeons playing for one of these teams, I don't know who said it, maybe you can refresh my memory on this one, Chris. The guy said, hey, they blew up the coal, they might do it again to us. Because here's the story. The U.S. Olympic Committee and the United States government is so concerned with the security of our Olympic basketball team that they have placed them out on a floating naval ship of some kind, an aircraft carrier, surrounded by U.S. Navy SEALs, surrounded by all kinds of security. So I don't know where the rest of the Olympic team is staying. I guess they get to stay in the Olympic Village, and they're up for grabs like everybody else. But the basketball players, because they're such a special breed of people, they get to stay out on a ship. And even with all of that security, these guys are wetting their pants about going over to Athens, Greece for the Olympics. Now, naturally, a guy can do whatever he wants with his life. A guy can do whatever he wants with his life. It's fine. I happen to think there's a time and a place for making a statement when it comes to your country. Now, that may it might make me old-fashioned, but let me bring up a name. A guy by the name of John McEnroe. John McEnroe, people didn't like him. A lot of people thought he was very cocky. People thought he was a hothead. John McEnroe never said no to a Davis Cup team because he said, you know what? When they call, I'll go. It's my country. It's the team that I play for that represents my country. McEnroe was a captain of Davis Cup teams. Later on, he was a coach. John McEnroe ain't a poor man. He's got money. He is a guy that works as a broadcaster now, and he's certainly one of the top names, most well-known name in professional tennis over the last century. But McEnroe, he knew, just as some people have a sense of duty, that there is a time when you sort of put your personal interest aside and you make a statement on behalf of public service, shall we say. The other thing that I think is really important about these guys going to play basketball in Athens is that there are a lot of young kids that watch these guys, and this would be a great opportunity for them to show these kids not to be afraid. To say, you know what, there's a time when you got to do what you got to do. However you want to communicate it to them. We're going to go over there, we're going to represent our country, we're going to play some basketball, and let the ragheads do what they're going to do. But we don't have that kind of athlete. They ain't even getting close to it, baby. That's why on this show, we don't pull any punches when it comes to professional athletes and what we think of them. And it ain't too much. We don't have no hero worship here. We're not kissing any Zen master ass. We're not talking about guys being heroes when they play basketball, when they're dribbling balls around. Because as the man said, I ain't seen too many hero types around here lately. Yeah, sure, Kobe. I know you got to go. You got a court date. Funny how it ain't stopping you now in the playoffs. And I don't know what your problem is, Shaq. And I don't know what your problem is, kid, other than the fact that you're wet in your pants, you might get blowed up. And Kevin Garnett, he doesn't know what he wants to play. And Ray Allen, well, he's getting married. Or somebody's having it. Vince Carter's having a kid. And they all of a sudden, they got something else to do. Now, you won't read about this in the local Los Angeles press because in order for those guys to write about it, that means they're going to have to rub some people the wrong way over at the Lakers. God forbid they should do that. Because if there's one thing about the local sports press in Los Angeles, man, they know which side the butter's on, baby. They aren't going to rub anybody the wrong way, especially when it means they don't get any access to the locker room where they could have one of these guys sweat on them. So I had to go to the Oregonian. I had to go to some Milwaukee paper. I'm serious. I had to go to, like, the Portland Oregonian, some paper in Milwaukee, ESPN. We got an email from a listener who alerted us to the fact that these players are just flat scared. Well, there's nothing wrong with being scared, Phil. No, you're right. There's nothing wrong with being scared. But, you know, if you're scared, then quit with all the posturing about what an important thing it is you do, playing basketball. Quit with all of the posturing, especially in the part of the press, about how these guys are warriors. These guys are warriors like my cat's a warrior. Here's the email that we got from a guy by the name of Robert Scott. You must have missed this, but when I saw it, I could only think of you. ESPN did a report a couple of days ago about all the big, bad NBA stars who are afraid to go to the Olympics and represent America. One by one, they're dropping off the roster with the flimsiest of excuses. The excuses themselves were comical, and this despite being protected by NATO and the Navy SEALs. We're talking big-name stars here, all cowards. Hear that, Lakers? Nah, I guess not, huh? Maybe you could do a bit on this to really wake up the public to how selfish and cowardly these stars really are. Just an idea for you. Yeah, maybe one of these days. Now, before I go any further, let me give you a list of the players that have committed to play as of today. And one of them I'm never going to say a bad thing about again. Where is he? Isn't Iverson on the... Isn't Allen Iverson on there?
Those are the newest ones. Those are the just as of now. Those are the newest ones.
So Iverson's not on this list. I thought Allen Iverson was on the list.
He's already committed.
He's already committed. Yeah. These are the guys. Let me just say, Allen Iverson has committed. And I used to talk about Allen Iverson being a punk, and you know what? Maybe he is. But by God, he's a stand-up guy. As far as I'm concerned, Iverson begged to be on this team. He begged Coach Larry Brown, please let me play on the Olympic team. Are you ready for that? The other guys that are going to represent their country: LeBron James, the Cavaliers; Richard Jefferson of the Nets; Stephon Marbury of the New York Knicks; Sean Marion of the Suns; Amare Stoudemire, is that how you pronounce the guy's name? Sorry, pal, if I'm butchering it, of the Suns. These are the new names. Ray Allen has withdrawn because of a personal family matter. And on and on and on it goes. The other members that withdrew, I mentioned their names, and they're sort of, it's like changing every day. I mean, we can't update it fast enough. The list of guys that are suddenly getting cold feet and are starting to feel a little, just a little queasy in the lower reaches of their colonic area. There's a whole lot of guys over in Iraq right now, in harm's way, and whether you like it or not, they're fighting for you. Whether you like it or not. And a whole lot of those guys aren't going to come back. Now, these cats that play basketball for a living, when it suits them, they speak of themselves as representatives of a great game, when it suits them. When it suits the hacks and the flacks and the mouthpieces that represent them, they're warriors, they're heroes and examples to young people, they're role models, when it suits them, see. But when it doesn't suit them, then they're just private citizens who want to cover their ass. So they get to have it either way. Any way they want to have it, they get to have it. You know, I don't know who these guys signed their commercial contracts with. I really don't. Does Kobe have a... Doesn't he have a deal with somebody, or Shaq has a deal? Like, who's Shaq with? Ain't he with somebody like Converse? I don't know. But I would think that if you're an advertiser, you're a corporation that assigned one of these gutless wonders to be a representative for you, for what? What are they representing? Here's what the latest guy with a big yellow stripe down his back is wearing. I don't care. I don't care if they're private citizens and they have every right in the world not to go. You're right. They got every right in the world not to go. They have every right in the world to say no. I'm just, you know, and I got every right in the world to call them what they are. Gutless wonders. That's all. Period. I don't care if they're wearing a Laker jersey, a Clipper jersey, if they're playing for the, you know, the Caneo Valley Youth Basketball League. You guys are really something else, man. Hey, why don't you just come right out and say it? I guess that's really what I want to hear. I want to hear Jason Kidd say he's chicken. I want to hear, and if you're going to ask me the question, would you go Hendry in a New York minute? Tell you what I'll do. I'll go there. I'll go there tomorrow. I'll fly there tomorrow if somebody's got the cash to back me to do it. I ain't got the kind of spending cash, and I can't even begin to get the credentials for this thing. It's a press credential that is like gold. Hell yeah, I'll go. I wouldn't miss it for the world. You know what I might do? I might walk down the street with a big red, white, and blue Uncle Sam hat on, too. This stuff has got to stop. I mean, some of this stuff is, you know, we are absolutely just shrinking violets, man. We're getting about this big in the eyes of the rest of the world. They're just like wagging their finger in our face, and we're just all scuffing our Buster Browns in the dust, and we're going, we're sorry, and we won't show our faces. Can you dig that? That's where we are, 2004. We're afraid to show our faces anywhere. That's America. What a proud generation this one is. Oh, man. Let me just say it again. You kids, you Echo Boomers and Gen Ys, thank God you're coming up, man, because the rest of us here, we're having a hard time holding our mud, as Steve Bozell might say. Jesus. Unreal. Don't you show your face over here either. And if you do, you behave. Yes, sir. And another thing, we just might kill you anyway. Yes, sir. And another thing, you're over in Iraq and you're worse than Al-Qaeda. Yes, sir. Just because they cut a guy's head off, that's nowhere near as bad as putting a bag on a guy's head. Yes, sir. And another thing, don't you ever talk about how you saved the world. You're the world's greatest terrorist, aren't you? Yes. Aren't you? Yes, we are. Okay. Anything else, sir? And if you come over to the Olympics and you win a bunch of gold medals, you better just get on the plane and leave. And don't even tell anybody about it, okay? Yes, sir. Okay? Yes, sir. Now get out of here, America. You suck. By the way, love your jeans. Yes, sir. I mean, thank you, sir. I mean, no, sir. I mean, when do we get the Baywatch reruns? Very quickly, sir. More Baywatch reruns. Yes, sir. And when are we going to get the next Conan movie? Well, he's the governor of California. What does that mean? Well, I mean, he can't make Conan movies anymore. Well, what about Rambo? He's a bad actor. What? I mean, he's a good actor. What? I mean, he's a bad actor. Shh. 1-800-449-8686. Welcome to the Voice of America. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, Steve Bozell, a Corona, California contractor, wants to talk. He wants all this talk of the Nick Berg video to stop because it makes him feel less than a man for not choosing to watch it. He hasn't seen it. His wife has seen it. His son has seen it. He hasn't seen it. And it makes him feel, as he says, unbrave. Also, Jeff Dowder. A young man who lives in the Huntington Beach area. Actually, he's from Temple City, but he was in Huntington Beach over the weekend. He rescued a little girl from a shark attack and is angry that her father did not give him a reward. Never mind that it was a 2-foot sand shark that he kicked out of the way as he grabbed the girl out of the water. That's coming up tonight on our show. We also, just as a way of reminding you, we have a very interesting life. Is it Life Imitates Phil? No, it's a memory lane that we have coming up later on in the week from our Miami days. So if you want to hear the show as it rolled out in Miami back in the mid to late 90s, we have a wonderful little flashback called Mrs. Edelman. You won't want to miss it. 1-800-449-8686. So we're talking about the big bad NBA, baby. All those big guys who, have no problem shoving their big mugs in the camera and talking all kinds of garbage. When the country says, hey, how's about playing some basketball for us? We'll even stick you on an aircraft carrier with 9 million Navy SEALs, 500 guys with machine guns and bomb-sniffing dogs. And, I mean, the closest you'll come to a terrorist is going to see that bad Denzel Washington movie. And they're all sitting there going, could you pass me a paper towel? I think I just squirted. 1-800-449-8686. Gina, hello. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Gina.
Hi. I was just calling with regards to what you were saying about the NBA players, and I think that you're making a really valid point, but I think that you're amiss with one person, and that's Shaquille O'Neal. I mentioned
Jason Kidd about three times.
Right. Well, Shaquille O'Neal was just on the news last night in an LAPD uniform. He's made it abundantly clear that as soon as he retires from the NBA, he plans on training for the LAPD. He's an honorary officer
right now. What's that got to do with what we're talking about?
I mean,
I'm talking about doing something for your country. You know, Gina, what I'm saying, I understand he has personal dreams and desires, as you do, as I do. Can't we put all of those aside for 3 weeks? Three lousy weeks he's not thinking about himself and what he needs and what he wants to do and what his plans are. And we're all supposed to just go, boy, you are something else, Shaq. You want to be a cop. Good for you. And I think it's a wonderful thing, okay? There's a whole lot of cops out there, though, that ain't getting any plaudits these days. I'm saying whatever the plans are, how about putting them on the back burner for a couple of weeks and going over and doing something for your country?
Right. I think that you're right when it comes to everyone else. I just think in that particular situation, he's expressed so many times that he
what about the guys that are fighting in Iraq
right now?
Wait a minute.
And that his father, his stepfather, who is in the military.
Why does he get special consideration? I don't understand. Why are you giving him special concern?
I just feel like I know his background a little bit better. I don't know that. I haven't heard the particular statement.
You know him? Are you a friend of his?
I used to be. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you're a friend of his. Okay. But if you're a friend of his, I mean, that's nice. Well, why don't you call him up and tell your friend that there's a guy talking garbage about him on the radio and that I don't think he's got the guts. He's going to be a cop. What's he going to do when he's a cop? He's going to actually pull a gun and shoot people and stuff?
I think that he's actually gone through actually saying that he doesn't see himself as a role model right now. He sees himself as a basketball player. He's there to do a job. And so he's...
I'm not even being a role model, you know. I'm talking about doing something for your country, representing your country.
But he's played in the Olympics before. He's done it, I think, three times now.
Look, is he retiring this year?
I'm sorry?
Is he retiring this year?
I have no idea.
All right, well, you know what? Unless he's retiring this year, he can get up off his ass and go to Athens and play for his country. And whether he wants to be a cop, huh? There's guys fighting over there right now in Iraq who might have dreams themselves. Maybe they want to be cops. Maybe they want to be nurses, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs. I don't know. You know, Shaq's going to have to get in line behind all of them when it comes to having the wish fulfillment of our dreams. Right now, he's got a wonderful opportunity to represent his country and play basketball. As it is, we got a B team going over there. We don't even have our best players going over there. We'll probably get our asses kicked. And for why? Because we got some girls, excuse my language, Gina, guys that, can't fit into their high heels to get over there and play a little basketball on an aircraft carrier with 5,000 Navy SEALs around them. There's nothing's going to happen to them. They're going to be fine.
It may be so, and like I said, I'm not in that situation. My husband is a retired NFL player, and honestly, though, Phil, if this situation came to him and they wanted him to play over there, I don't think I'd let him go. We have a baby, and it's security.
What is it with Americans these days that they're all about themselves? We have a baby. We have a this. I got a that.
It is.
You got
very
a country.
Selfish. I have the utmost respect
yeah,
for
well,
those military wives.
You know what? You're very selfish until something happens to your baby. Then you want to start screaming to the president and the Congress and everybody else, why didn't they protect you? All right, 1-800-449. I didn't hang up on her. She just didn't have anything to say. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Tonight on our show, a local surfer by the name of Jeff Dowder from Temple City rescued a little girl from a shark attack at Huntington Beach today. He is upset that he wasn't offered a reward from by her father, even though it was only a two-foot sand shark. Also, Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, wants all this talk of the Nick Berg video to cease because everybody that's seen it and talks about it makes him feel unbrave or less of a man because he hasn't seen it. He's scared of seeing it. 1-800-449-8686. Right back to your phone calls in a second here. Just reading from this news story, and I'm quoting directly on the NBA stars shunning the Olympics over security concerns. Quote, the U.S. NBA Olympians are set to reside upon a cruise ship in Athens with an elaborate security network around them. But some players recall small boats with explosives being used in terrorist acts against large ships. Woo-hoo! No matter how much security you have, you can't stop people from strapping bombs to their bodies, U.S. Olympian Jermaine O'Neal has said. Is that right? Well, why even go out the front door of your house, you knucklehead? Although I shouldn't call a kid a knucklehead. He's a U.S. Olympian, so is he on the team? Or is that like a former Olympian? Jason Kidd said, as much as the Olympics are a major thing, there are more important things going on in the world right now. And what he means by that is, my life. See, that's what they mean when they say there's more important things going on in the world. Jason Kidd is going on right now. So let the Olympics and the whole world's problems just sort of dissolve into the recede into the background because I'm Jason Kidd. I must live. I simply must. Olympic security is a major concern, not just for me, but for all of the players, said Minnesota's Kevin Garnett, who has not accepted an offer to play on the U.S. Olympic squad. Garnett, who stood there shivering and shaking like a rabbit in a cold wind, quickly wiped his brow, put his dress back on, and left. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Christopher, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hey, Phil, love the show.
That's nice.
Got to let you know, though, I can feel for these basketball players in one sense in that, well, it is America, and they do have the freedom to choose. And I'm a 23-year-old, and, you know, I chose not to go into the military. That was a choice that I had as an American, and I'm enjoying my freedom as a result. On the other hand, I think these...
you're enjoying your freedom as a result because some other guy chose to go into the military.
Well, that's correct. That's correct. And, you know, God bless those who are in the military.
Anyway, that's cool. You're right. You have a right to that.
As far as these NBA players are concerned, I think in one aspect they are absolutely helping the country in that they're paying the majority of the taxes because they're in that high tax bracket.
They're paying the majority of the taxes because they're in the high tax bracket.
Well, I
just want to be clear. They're paying the majority of the taxes because they're in the high tax bracket.
Well, those in the high
basketball
tax bracket
players.
Those in the higher tax brackets are paying the majority
everybody
of the
taxes. Everybody pays income tax.
Okay, well...
Everybody pays what they have to pay, what they are required by law to pay. The basketball players, I hate to break the news to you, Christopher, if they didn't have to pay the taxes, they wouldn't.
Well, as would you wouldn't, and as I wouldn't.
Right, so why is that? Why do I need to beatify them as saints for that?
Well, it's not about a matter of beatifying them as saints. I think it's just a matter of them, they are supporting America.
What about the guys that are fighting right now? They pay taxes. They've got jobs back here, the reservists, the National Guard guys. They've got jobs.
Absolutely.
They're not going to come back to those jobs, by the way, as you know.
But I think that's the beauty of it. They have that freedom
That is the beauty of it. The beauty of it is the NBA guy can sit here with his thumb up his ass, and those guys get to play over there. That's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful country, isn't it?
I agree. Where is the tradition? I can see your point. Where is the tradition? Why aren't the pros going over there and playing?
It's like this. We go about our lives because that's what this country promises. Life, liberty, and the pursuit. Now, I want to underline pursuit of happiness. It's in the Constitution. It doesn't guarantee you happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It says you have the right to pursue it.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty cool, you know? So, we're guaranteed three things. Life, you have a right to live, Christopher. Liberty, you have a right to be free in that life. And you have a right to pursue your happiness, man. So we go about that. And because this country works so well, we never give Uncle Sam a thought. We just sort of go about it. Then all of a sudden one day somebody says, hey, how about somebody, why don't we all pitch in and do something for our country?
Mm-hmm.
And, no, man, I can't do that. You know, I can't do that. I can't get with that because I've got to, you know, I got to get my shoe shined.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get another nose ring put in.
Sure.
See, that's all I'm saying. And,
well, I think, maybe
and
the
I think
biggest...
the thing that makes it cowardly is that these guys are going to be treated special. They're going to be on a cruise ship. They're going to be 500 Navy SEALs, bomb-sniffing dogs. They're going to be away from the rest of the Olympians. They're going to be, they couldn't have it safer if they had Superman standing guard. If they had Superman at one end of the ship and Batman hanging off the other end, okay?
Sure.
But these cats, they're still, it makes me wonder about the manhood of these guys. No, it doesn't make me wonder. I got it pretty well figured out. There ain't a whole lot going on there. But I'll tell you this much, they are young men. And mm-hmm. as young men, they still got a lot of growing to do.
Absolutely. I can see, completely concede that point. And, you know, I'm a big NBA fan, so I'd love to see the best of the best go over
right.
there and dominate the rest of the world.
Yeah.
However, you know, I still, you know, would argue that they do have the freedom.
No, I ain't saying they don't have the freedom. I'm just asking, where's a little public service? Where's a little public-minded spiritness? What the hell's going on with this country, man, that we shrink away from every challenge now?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I want to congratulate you. You're calling from San Diego?
Correct.
It's one of the best San Diego calls I've ever had.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Phil.
Yeah. As you know, many of the calls we get from down there are from a lot of nose pickers, so we do appreciate your call, pal.
All right, bud.
Take care. That's all. I mean, is that stupid? I mean, if you bring it up, of course, people say... Well, now, Mr. Henry, don't be fooled. What do you mean public-spirited mindedness and all of that, you know? No, it's just... Jesus. Hey, Uncle Sam, you know, the country, the flag, all that crap. You want to go over and play basketball? You're going to play for, you know, we'll fly you over there. You'll stay on a cruise ship, dude. You'll stay on a cruise ship. It'll just be your thing. You won't even have to hang with the other Olympians. And, you know, that right there, in my opinion, is way over the top. I think they ought to stay in the Olympic Village with the rest of them. However, considering I can understand the extremely high public profile a lot of these guys have, especially in that part of the world. Greece, big, big basketball country. Italy, the Balkans, big basketball country. I can understand. So they're going to sit there on a cruise ship. They got Navy SEALs. These guys, you know, these guys, didn't you see that guy? What's his name? He ripped the throat out of that guy. What's the guy over there? Steven Seagal. I saw him in a movie. He was a Navy SEAL, and he ripped the guy's throat out, and the guy went, ah, like that. So they're tough guys, and there's nothing to be afraid of. And you're doing, and the kids in this country will say, look at that, man. Allen Iverson isn't afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. He's not afraid to go out into the world and ply his trade in the face of these murderers and terrorists and people that are threatening us. He's not afraid to go out there and wear the colors of the United States of America playing basketball. That's what he does well. That is his craft. That is his trade. He's going to go over and he's going to ply his trade representing his country, man. Now, if he can do that, maybe I can muster some real guts. See, now, to me, that is an actual heroic thing. That's not just going out and dribbling the ball and sinking 45 one night in a playoff game. Everybody thinks you're a hero. I think, to me, that's a heroic act, going into an area that may be perilous and putting yourself aside for a second and thinking about other people for a minute and thinking, this is going to do a lot of good for a lot of people. It's going to help my country. Might even buck the American people up a little bit. We're under assault from every corner. Everybody thinks we're the worst scum that ever came out of the out from underneath the sink. We're Nazis. We're bad, you know, all kinds of bad guys. We're abusing people. I'm going to go over there, man, and put on a show for the folks, kick a little bit of ass, make up for 2002 in the World Championships when the Lithuanians spanked us, stuck us in high heels and a skirt and sent us home. I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, I wish I was the coach of the team. I bet you I could talk half of these guys into going. And the other half of them, they'd probably wind up killing me. 1-800-449-8686. Fred, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. I'm actually a first-time listener, and I had to call in because I feel like you're throwing out a blanket condemnation of all NBA players, and despite the fact that several players are deciding to go, and some of the people
I mentioned them.
Right, right. But also some of the people that you listed, Ray Allen, you said a family reason. He's expecting his firstborn son over the summer.
I don't care.
Okay. Are you a father, Phil?
Yes, I am. Four kids.
So would you give up your firstborn's birth?
It would depend, but let's say that...
For your country.
Yeah, I would. Okay. Yeah, a lot of guys have. And you know what? I'm going to see the kid grow up.
No, that's true. Given that, another one is Jason Kidd. I don't know.
Jason Kidd, he's just wetting his pants. That's his problem.
He's playing game seven tonight. He's got 0 points, I believe, through the third quarter.
I couldn't
care less.
He's
playing on an extremely bum wheel, and I just feel like if you were an NBA fan at all, if you've been paying attention at all during these playoffs,
I got other things to do than pay attention to this jackass game. You kidding
me? Well, then you know what? Why go off on tirade and condemn all the players if you can't even follow the sport?
Buddy, I've been following sports for all my entire life. I had season tickets to the Lakers, okay? As far as I'm concerned, the game is a dull, boring exercise. I don't watch it anymore, all right? But I do know athletes, and I also know where they reside in the pecking order of important things in life, and they're somewhere down around the bottom. Now, they get a lot of money to run their big fat mouths, even when they're not playing basketball, about all kinds of, like Barkley. We consider this guy to be a real world-class wit. He's an idiot is what he is.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. What these guys could do is something different. They could shock the world and actually put their own personal interests aside for 2 weeks and go over and play a game for their country.
I realize it's asking a lot to go to a cruise ship
and have 500 Navy SEALs protecting your rear end while you go and get more bacon and eggs at the buffet, but it's a hardship, but I think they could stand it.
So that's another problem I've got is you've been presenting this cruise ship scenario as if it's just for the NBA players.
Let me ask you the big question.
It's for American athletes of all sports.
Let me ask you a question. What's the NBA ever done for you?
I'm a huge fan. I love the sport.
What, you think those guys would give one drop of their sweat for you?
You know what? I see some of those people leaving all out there.
Dude,
and I think that's more...
Do you think those guys even know you exist and would give one drop of sweat for you?
You know what? I'm not expecting them to give me a whole lot. I find the sport entertaining. I think that there's competition in the sport and some great parity. And
I agree with you.
Where anybody could win on a given night.
I don't expect them to give a lot either. That's why I'm saying go over and play a little Olympic basketball, okay? It's the least you can do.
Well, I'm hoping they do as well, because obviously we want to see the best team out there for the States.
All right, well, get ready for Lithuania to spank us, though. Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. If you are a first-time caller to the show, I should warn you that this program gives no quarter. We have no concern for athletes. I love football. It's my number one favorite spectator sport. Always have, probably always will. I'm getting back into baseball a little bit. I know I've been bagging on baseball, but I'm getting back into basketball. I ain't interested anymore. It sucks. Jackass-looking game. Plus, the bigger those pants on you, pretty soon you guys are going to look like Ringling Brothers clowns with those freaking shorts, man. I just want to give you the heads up on that. Those shorts get any bigger, you guys are going to be coming out of a car with big shoes. Okay, hockey, it's for jackasses. I mean, I realize I'm a cynical guy, but that's just me. However, you can have your pursuits, you can have your pleasures. I've got no problem with that. I got a little bit of a problem, though, with these ball players. Who their team needs them. I mean, Larry Brown needs them. We don't have a top-notch roster going over there. We got Allen Iverson, we got some guys, but we could have an ass-kicking team. But why don't we have one? Because these guys are scared. And it wouldn't be so bad if they actually said, I'm scared, man, I'm really scared. Okay, great. Then from now on, why don't you save all the big talk for your wife? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I see Matt Drudge is reporting that today is May 20th, and the conventions will be in August, and the election is in November, and Kerry finally figured out what he wants his campaign theme to be. Here it is. You ready? Let America be America again. Doesn't that just grab you right where you need to be grabbed? Let America be America again. You know what, Kerry? The first thing you need to do is fire everybody and start all over again, Jim. He's hoping that message is going to resonate. And I'll tell you something. It may. Because what have I been telling you guys? What have I said to you? People want it to be September the 10th. He might as well be saying, let's go back to September the 10th, because that's exactly what I've been saying here for the last 2.5 years. These people who want it to be September the 10th and make the boogeyman go away, make all the bad, terrible, scary stuff go away. Well, you ain't going to be able to do it there, Senator, any more than Bush is going to be able to do it. The fact is, it's the world we're living in right now, so you got to deal with it, man. You can't make it go away. You got to deal with it. Let America be America again. Hey, I got a great idea. You want America? Which America are you talking about, man? September the 10th, 2001, August 1955. So a whole bunch of people out there that like America to be America again. Just pick a date. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Steve Bozell, who is afraid to look at the Nick Berg video, but his wife isn't, and he thinks it emasculates him. So he might want to sue her. Also, Jeff Dowder rescued a little girl from a sand shark, only a 2-foot-long shark, and all it does is kind of nip at you, but he wants a big reward. He thinks he's just some kind of a shark wrestler. All right, let's go over here to D. D, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how you doing? First time listener. Just happened to be changing the station, and you sounded kind of interesting, so I thought I'd stick around for
Thank you so very deeply, sir.
Well, I was calling about the guys in the NBA. I don't think they should have to go over there either if they don't choose to.
I didn't say they had to go.
I mean, I don't think that they should be looked down upon if they don't go.
Oh, I'm looking down on them.
And,
I am doing.
I mean, you got to understand, it's dangerous over there, and they are sports figures,
Really? I thought they were big, tough guys with all kinds of playground credibility. Oh, they're sports figures? They're going to be living on a cruise ship, D.
I mean, but
500 Navy SEALs.
I mean, how really safe is it? You know, it's not really that safe.
It's not, huh? You been over there and checked it out?
No, but I do watch the news every day.
Well, we're talking about Athens, Greece, where they're being protected by American troops. Understand, these aren't Greek police that are going to be protecting them. United States Navy military personnel, and that includes Marines, will be protecting their players, American players.
Well, right now, America is about the most hated country in the world. And,
got it.
Right. And so, wouldn't it be just something special to get some of our celebrities, you know? I mean, I mean, from being in their shoes, I would be thinking about, you know, I have family, children, whatnot, just because I'm...
Yeah, everybody thinks about their family and their children. How many people think about their country? And here's another one. You know, maybe people will say, by God, we've been crawling into a hole for the last 2 years. Everybody calling us Nazis, this, bastards, bad guys, terrorists. By God, some guys went over there and decided to stick their head up out of the hole and say, you know what, I'm an American, I'm going to play basketball for my country. Every other country in the world gets to go there with their athletes. Why don't we? Why are we going to be pushed around by bullies? Why are we the country that has to be pushed back into our hole by bullies? Everybody else gets to play.
That's true. Well, I hate to start a different conversation, but we kind of put ourselves in that predicament, so...
Okay.
All righty.
Still a pretty damn good place to live, though, isn't it, sir?
Yeah, it is. I will say this. It is a land of opportunity.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank
you. See you later, D. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
You're talking about the Nick Berg video, Mr. Bozell. The video was one that, yes, I did watch it.
Well, the comment that I made, and I made to your producer earlier, is that you people in the media, I think, need to stop this continual conversation about the Nick Berg video. You are constantly talking about it and referencing it.
Why?
The effect is... In my opinion, to indirectly indict those of us who have not yet seen it as somehow lacking in courage. And I just want to say right now that I love my country very much, and the intimidation, intimation is those of us who haven't seen the Nick Berg video are somehow scared or we're scaredy cats.
I haven't even given it too much thought. I mean, I saw the Nick Berg video. I mean, I know there's a lot of more and more people are seeing it. A lot of kids in high school have decided to bring it to school. Some teachers are allowing them to see it. I don't recommend it for anybody under the age of 15. I think it's important.
Well, in the instance of some of us, Mr. Henry, we have families, and the media influences our families.
Well, now, I spoke with your attorney, Ms. Blasingame. You're planning on filing an action against what you describe. You want to sue the Internet?
Yes, sir.
For making the video available?
Yes, sir.
But it was your wife who asked you if you saw it.
Well, I believe she's been influenced by the Internet as well. And to be a married man at the age of 38, as I am, and to have your wife come into the house and say to you, you know...
Well, I know all of that. Your wife has seen the Nick Berg video. Your son has seen the Nick Berg video.
That is correct. I also mentioned... Cliff Pettigrew, who is on my crew, has seen the Nick Berg video. Roy Hutchins, who is my next-door neighbor, has seen the Nick Berg video. And just about everybody who I've talked to who is at my kid's school has seen the Nick Berg video. So I'm just...
Tell me, I want to ask you, Mr. Bozell, is this about... Are you saying you're frightened to look at the Nick Berg video?
Well, you need to put yourself in my shoes. My wife... is not scared of seeing it, and I have a son who has seen it in his social studies class on his computer. As I mentioned, Mr. Pettigrew, who is a member of my crew, and Roy Hutchins, a dear friend and neighbor, they've all seen it. And I don't know how much, I mean, when you're, as I was going to say to you, you look at your wife, and she asks you, have you seen the Nick Berg video? My own wife asked me, and I said, no, I have not. And...
Go ahead.
She looks at you like you're too scared to see it. I don't know how much lower a man can get.
Okay.
And it's my feeling that this continual humiliation at the hands of my own wife, and my own family is the result of the Internet, that we filed a lawsuit in Superior Court against the Internet, which is the place where it was first made available.
And I want to ask you, you haven't seen it. Why have you not seen it? Why have you not watched it?
For the same reason other people haven't seen it. I mean, I just don't feel like I don't want to see it. And you talk.
But why?
You're talking about it, and the Internet talking about it, and my wife's seen it, and she talks about it. And when she talks about it, she makes it sound like I'm not brave, or I'm unbrave, and she's braver than me, and I just don't want to see it. She thinks she's braver than me about it.
But why? Okay, because it's scary.
What I'm trying to say, see, you using that word is not right because...
All right, when you talk to Janice, okay...
What I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to find the words to say what I mean, and...
All right, you talked to Janice, and you said to her, you don't like me and other members of the media talking about the Nick Berg video, and you don't like your wife talking about it because you haven't seen it. And you think we're all looking at you thinking you're a coward.
Well, I think that the inference is clear. Oh, I saw the Nick Berg video. I seen him get his head clipped off. And how come you haven't seen it? And I don't feel like it. Some people may take that to mean I'm afraid, and she's not.
Are you afraid to see it?
No, sir, I'm not. I just don't feel like it. And what I'm petitioning the court for is to enjoin my wife from bragging about how many times she's seen the Nick Berg video and to enjoin my son from watching. I also want relief from the court so that my son and wife will refrain from talking about it in my presence, which further exacerbates my feelings, my attorney says, of emasculation and isolation. And then finally, I have...
You have the action in front of you, right, sir?
Yes, I do. I've asked the court to enjoin members of my work crew from inferring that I'm a, and I'm quoting directly now, a chicken blank... for not watching it, and I've informed the court that I'm not chicken, and I just don't feel like watching the Nick Berg video. It's very alienating not to have seen the video, and for them to call me a chicken, you know what.
I was speaking with Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who, as I understand it, Mr. Bozell, your wife has seen the Nick Berg video, friends of yours have, the media has, people talk about it. And you believe those of you in America who haven't seen it are sort of hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, being called chicken for not looking at it.
Well, I think, you say hint, hint, nudge, nudge, I think what's going on here is everybody's lording it over. You know, I saw the Nick Berg video, and you didn't. And the inference is that I'm some kind of a chicken. And there are millions of Americans out there right now who haven't seen it, and every time the Internet talks about it, and every time the newspapers and the news magazines talk about it, and the radio stations too, it is very clear that what's being said about those of us who won't watch the Nick Berg video is that we're chicken, you know, chicken stuff, and that we're all chicken and scaredy cats. Now, people who watch the Nick Berg video are using it as a badge of honor that they've seen it.
And well, I can tell you I'm not. I saw it, and in many ways I wish I hadn't seen it. It's pretty troubling.
Well, but right now there you go and talking about it like, wow, you know, I saw it and everything.
And well, I'm just telling you that it was a very troubling thing.
But you got to understand, those of us who are listening to your show who haven't seen it, you're making us feel bad about it and making me feel like I'm a baby about it and stuff.
But suing your wife, sir, having the federal, having a superior court enjoin your wife from talking about it.
I can't get her to, I've asked her, you know, don't talk about it. And
well, she says that she's talking with your son about it because he's discussing it in a social studies class. She's asked you about it.
Yes, she has. And I said, I don't want to talk about it. And she's saying, she shakes her head and makes me look, shakes her head and says, you know, she might as well just say, boy, you're a chicken.
This is an emotional thing for you.
Yes, sir, it is.
Where are you right now?
We've got a pond. We've got about 5 acres out here in Corona. It's a pond that I built that I'd just like to come out here and think.
You're outside at a pond? I mean, it's on your property?
Yes, sir, it is. Yeah, I do. I stock it with catfish, and I just like to sit out here and think about how everything's just gone bad.
Is it really that big of a deal that, I mean, are they really making you feel bad about it?
Well, I mean, how come they always mention the Nick Berg video, and it's really this and really that?
Well, you know what, I don't, frankly, if you want my honest opinion, I don't think they mention it enough, but
they're mentioning it too much.
But you haven't seen it, and you think you're missing out on something.
Yes, I do think I'm missing out. And I want to see it, but I'm scared to. So every time somebody talks about it, it makes me feel more like I'm just a chicken. And I don't know what I'm trying to say.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This gentleman is asking relief from the court so that no one, that his wife and kids and his friends don't talk about the Nick Berg video, if you're familiar with it, the decapitation video that is so horrific and has been circulated. He doesn't want anybody talking about it, not because he's seen it, but because he hasn't seen it, and he is reminded of how scared he is of seeing it. And he feels it's emasculating that his wife has seen it and he hasn't. He feels that it is humiliating that his son has seen it and he hasn't. He feels that it is demeaning that his friends have seen it and he hasn't. And he's too scared to see it, and he doesn't want them talking about it because every time they do, it reminds him of what a, as he said, and he quoted it in his action, what a chicken he is. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. For those of us who have seen it and talk about it in the media, I'm not sure that any of us are talking about it to make anybody feel bad that they haven't seen it. But that may very well be the case. People are feeling bad every time somebody talks about it. We'll take your calls here on the Phil Hendry Show. Mr. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. His action in Superior Court names his wife, his son, and two friends. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Stephen Bozell is with me, a construction contractor from Corona, California, who's filed a lawsuit against his wife, son, and two friends. You want the courts to demand that they not talk about the Nick Berg video. And just so you know, we've actually had some people call asking, what's the Nick Berg video? And to me, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever... But I actually took a couple of calls from people saying, what's the Nick Berg video? Let me just say to you people that it's, well, I can understand why you don't know, because the media would much rather have you worry about Iraqis with dog leashes on than a young man getting his head cut off, but it is the video of an American citizen who was murdered by Al-Qaeda, and it vividly depicts his murder, and it was a decapitation. For those of you who don't know what that means, and I had a call from someone who didn't know what a decapitation was, try looking it up in a dictionary. It starts with the letter R. Now, with me is Stephen Bozell, and this video, you say, is one that you haven't seen because you just don't want to. Are you afraid to?
Okay, you did it again, okay?
I used the word afraid?
Yes, sir. Every time you use the word afraid, you're saying, okay, are you a chicken? And I just don't want to look at it, and I don't want to have to say why I don't want to look at it. I'm afraid of it, but I'm afraid of it for a lot of reasons. I'm afraid of...
What are you afraid is going to happen if you see this video? And by the way, I mean, it is a video that is in wide release on the internet. People have seen it. I highly recommend that adults watch this. Highly recommend it. Because it will get your face shoved right into the face of the enemy, which is Al-Qaeda. If you avoid looking at it, you simply don't want to live in the world. And
well, are you calling me chicken or?
No, I'm not calling you chicken. I'm just saying I think you need to look at it to understand what we're up against.
I don't want to see it because I'm afraid I hear that it's violent. And
yes, sir, very violent.
And I don't want to hurt anybody because the media can influence you to be violent. And I'm afraid that if I see it, that I would want to commit an act of violence. I might, I don't know what, strangle my wife or kill anybody that I see.
And you're afraid of being influenced to violence?
If I watch it, my son wanted me to see it with him. I would never forget myself if I watched the Al-Qaeda video of them chopping off that boy's head, and then I turn around and I want to throw my son out through a window.
Right after you see the video?
No, not right after, sir. But
all right, I'm trying to determine what you are afraid is going to happen. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Tiffany on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Tiffany.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, ma'am.
I just have a real problem with this whole thing. Number one, I think the only thing that could possibly...
Dang it. You know, the FCC needs to get up to speed. Everybody in America thinks it's okay to say the S word on the radio, okay? Everybody in America, except all of us on radio, we are the guys that get fined if it goes out over the air. I wish somebody in Washington would wake up. I wish somebody in America would wake up. Having said that, here is Rick. Rick, go ahead.
I was just... You know, wanting to tell this guy to lighten up and say that it's fine not to watch this video. You know, it's a horrible thing.
Yeah, but everybody, have you seen it?
I saw it, and you know, okay. It's a dramatically horrible thing.
But that makes me feel like I'm chicken.
No, man, you're not a chicken. You just don't want to see a guy get his head cut off.
Well, everybody's talking about it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, how come you're not afraid of seeing it?
I wasn't afraid or not afraid. I saw it, and it was a terrible, terrible sight.
See?
It had no influence on me, but if it has an influence on you...
Oh, it doesn't have no influence on you, yeah.
No, well, it deeply moved me, it disturbed me, and if you know that about yourself and you have the foresight not to want to see something to make you react to
it,
then you're a better man.
Well, now it feels like there's two against one, you and Mr. Henry against me, because...
No, this guy is agreeing with you.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm telling you that you know yourself better than most people, and
sir,
you ought to just go with that.
You didn't hear what I said. You and Mr. Henry have seen it, and I haven't. And now that's the two of you who aren't gutless, and I'm a gutless wonder.
No, who
you're
cares?
Nobody calls you gutless wonder. Nobody calls you gutless wonder.
This has nothing to do with guts.
Yeah,
this has to do with you knowing who you are and knowing what you do and don't want to see in your life.
I turn off
the TV shows that I don't like.
And my wife saw it, Henry saw it, and my son saw it, and everybody saw it except me.
And that doesn't make anyone better than you. I think that you are perfectly noble for doing what you think is the right thing to do. I think you should hold your head up and not let anyone else get you down, man.
Okay, but I'd like people to not talk about it, because every time they do, I feel, you know, low.
Well, I wish people wouldn't talk about Oprah, but they do, and it makes me ill. But,
it makes you
but
feel
who cares,
low too,
man?
Yeah.
It's not my deal. I just let it go.
I feel lower than whale crap when they talk about Oprah.
Exactly.
Okay, you guys can joke about it, but I'm the one sitting here in a pile of you-know-what.
But there's nothing to sit in, man. All you got to do is just forget about it. Who cares if you've seen it or haven't seen it? No one else cares.
Did you see it?
I saw it. So what?
I just feel alone, that's all.
Well, I look,
you said there's a lot of people out there that haven't seen it, Mr. Bozell.
I don't know whether it's true or not. I may be the only guy in America that hasn't seen it. But the point that I'm trying to make is that every time somebody talks about it, like you and Rick, you've seen it. You're trying to make me feel better. But
no,
really, it's the two of you. The two of you are just kind of saying, oh, you poor retarded guy. You
no
didn't see it, but that's okay.
No, sir, we're not.
I was watching the Daniel Pearl, and I turned away because, frankly, it was too graphic. I decided I didn't want that in my life. I don't want to close my eyes and see that.
The thing I don't want to do, I don't want to see it and then want to go out and do that or something.
Well,
because
you got to give yourself some credit here because you obviously know yourself very well, better than most people. So what's the problem?
Well, I'm afraid that I'm going to see it and I'm going to want to just commit some horrible act on a child.
And that's why you shouldn't go see it.
Right.
I got no problem with that.
Rick, thank you for your call. Thank you, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Sharon. Sharon, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hello.
What I want to say is that this is very tragic. People are talking about it because it was very disturbing, and it's not about you, sir. It's about something awful that happened.
Now you're talking about it. Did you see it?
Not intentionally. No, I did not.
But you did see it, and you're a girl.
Yes, I am.
That's the part that makes me feel the worst, is that a girl...
Well, so what if she's a female, sir? I mean...
Well, that my wife saw it. I mean, God...
Over half the population of the United States are female, sir.
Yes, I know, but if you guys can see it...
Don't you know, sir, that women have more stamina than men when it comes to this kind of thing?
This was not a bravery thing.
That's such a bunch of bull.
This was not a bravery thing, sir. And people talking about it, it's tragic. It's really something to get over.
Right.
And it's not about you, and perhaps we should move on with other media events and not focus on this one.
I would love
that. This is somebody's son.
But with all
due... It didn't happen to you.
But with all due respect, ma'am, I would ask you this question. As a female who has been able to see the Nick Berg video, and I'm a man and I haven't been able to see it, don't you feel like, in a lot of ways, you got my manhood in your hand right now? I mean,
no,
it's like...
I don't. I wish I had not seen it. I was standing in front of a TV that happened to flash this. I immediately closed my eyes. I couldn't take it. It wasn't a good thing. I had very bad feelings about it. I feel that it's fortunate that some people did not see it, especially children that don't understand what's going on. I think it's important that your wife talk to your son about what he saw.
Did you see it?
She just said she saw it.
Okay, right there. She's got my manhood in her hand.
Sir, get over it.
No,
she
doesn't.
It's not about you.
All right, Sharon,
thank you.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. The Nick Berg video, if you don't know what it is, that's a perfect statement as to where America is right now, man. Iraqis with hoods on is more important than Nick Berg getting butchered alive on video. But if you know what it is, this man is tired of people talking about it because he hasn't seen it. He's afraid to see it. And whenever anybody talks about it, he feels like they're emasculating him because he's frightened of it. 1-800-449-8686. He's suing his wife for talking about it. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Well, that's the part that I don't understand. Stephen Bozell is with us. The Nick Berg video is an incredibly traumatic experience. It is the most violent thing many of us have ever seen. It is the decapitation of a man who is alive and screaming for his life as he is slowly murdered that way. It was performed, it was committed by Al-Qaeda, the very people that flew the airplanes into the buildings on September the 11th, and for that reason, many of us feel it's important to watch. I know, Mr. Bozell, you don't want me to talk about it because it makes you feel...
Well, every time you talk about it, I feel as if, you know, I know you need to talk about it on account of its news, but every time you do... Okay, I don't know if you can hear that. That is my own son.
I didn't hear that. What was that, sir?
That is my own son from the house who plays these sound effects he's got on his computer. And he plays a chicken.
And is he commenting on you?
I believe that he is, yes, sir. Because he and my wife seen it.
getting relief in a superior court by suing your wife and enjoining her from talking about it, suing the internet, which I'm not sure I know how one does that. All of these things, I think, sir. Okay, I can hear that now.
That's right. That is my son, Stephen Jr.
Is he taunting you? Is he...
I believe so. Yes, sir, he is. Yes, sir, he is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Chris. Hi, Chris. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I just wanted to tell this guy that I don't think that this really has anything to do with the Nick Berg. I think it has to do with a lack of respect on the part of his relationship with his wife. And as far as I'm concerned, I haven't watched it. My husband hasn't watched it. I don't consider him a chicken of any kind. This is someone's son who got killed, and I don't think it's respectful for any of us to watch it. As far as this guy goes, if he doesn't want to watch it and his wife doesn't respect that, they should get some counseling.
I would ask, first of all, I want to ask your son to stop whatever he's doing, because I think it is disrespectful.
Yes,
absolutely.
Sir. Absolutely. I appreciate what the lady's saying, and... But you got to understand something. Every time people talk about the Nick Berg video, they're basically saying about you and me, and I think you mentioned your husband, that we're just chicken and no good.
Yeah, but I think that comes from you. You've got to stand up and say, listen, I'm a human being. I don't want to see another human being massacred. This man has parents.
I just don't want to hurt anybody. I'm sure you feel the same way. I'm afraid that if I watch it, I'm going to want to just slap someone so hard.
See, I don't understand.
You know what?
I don't understand that.
What?
I don't think that you really have to defend your position whatsoever. You just don't want to watch it. Your son needs some manners.
Yeah, the chicken sound effects, Mr. Bozell, bespeak an insolence and a disrespect.
I understand that, and my wife is... Let me just say that you can see the son that I've had, that I have. I love him very much. But if I watch that Nick Berg video, man, I'm going to want to hurt him.
Are you saying that you will be influenced to violence?
Well, this lady agrees with me, and the rest of us don't want to, so we're afraid
we're going to want to go out and just get a razor
and just cut a man's throat.
I don't want to see that out of respect.
Don't you feel that you'd want to cut a man's throat if you saw it, though?
It has nothing to do with me going to hurt someone. Because, to be honest with you, that comes from inside.
It's probably more a male thing. If your husband saw it, for instance, and
my husband's a retired policeman.
Yes, ma'am.
My husband could see that, and he wouldn't go out and hurt our son. He wouldn't go out and hurt someone.
Yes, ma'am.
But I'm
afraid that if your husband sees it, boy, I'd hate for him to cut you.
He wouldn't. That's the problem. He would not.
You're sure about that?
Yes, because my husband would not stoop to what those people did. He's not that kind of a person.
And neither are you.
If you're not, I heard a guy seen that video,
and he went out and he kicked a dog right out onto the freeway.
Then that's his problem.
Oh, man, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
That's his problem.
Will you get that kid under control with the chickens?
Steven.
Chris, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
1-800-449-8686. We're talking...
See what I'm talking about? Why wouldn't I want to cut him? Kids...
Sir, I don't think it's healthy for you to talk about violence against anybody after seeing the Nick Berg video. When I saw that video, the only violence I wanted to commit was against the guys in that video that were doing that to Nick Berg. When they find the guy that did that, I'd love to watch as they slowly cut that guy. Other than that, I got no interest in hurting anybody.
Well, I'll tell you right now. That's what I'm afraid of. And watching the video can cause spontaneous explosions of violence and bodily function. Everybody's telling me about that, but I don't know.
That chicken, man. Here is Gerald. Hello, Gerald. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
Mr. Bozell.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you consistently talk about lashing out, and you've said it over the air, lashing out against children because of potentially watching this. Okay. I think you have demons in your pocket, okay? The fact of the matter is you should be outraged and not wanting to explode and hurt other people. Not here.
But have you read the reports, and it's all over the newspaper, that violence on television has been the reason why people go...
Yes, I know what you're talking about, but that's a simple excuse to commit heinous crimes. Okay, and what you're talking about, yes, I have watched the video.
Yes, sir.
But,
okay, do you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, but that does not mean you commit a heinous crime against a child. If your son thinks this is...
I don't know what your son's doing, Mr. Bozell, but you may have to move to an office.
Yes, sir, I will. I'm sorry. This is the kind of disrespect, though, that my son and my wife have heaped upon me. This is why I've sought relief in the courts.
But they're
mocking you because you won't watch this video?
But, Mr. Bozell...
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll tell you what. The fact that you didn't watch it does not mean anything against you.
Yes, sir.
I watched it, and I wished I would not have.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I mean, did you feel like you wanted to hurt, you know, just go out and just cut a man or something after you seen it?
Actually, after I watched it, I honestly will say that I really wanted to hurt someone from that country that was in charge.
That was my thing, too. I wanted to go find
Al-Qaeda. But you also stated over the air that you were worried that you would hurt a child. You would throw your son
and you would also hurt a child.
And there's no reason for that. That's an excuse for something that you want to do. So please either reevaluate or restate what you were thinking.
Gerald, are you a psychologist or?
No, sir, I'm not.
Can I ask the gentleman?
But I am a father of four children, and there's no reason in God's green earth that I would ever watch a video, no matter how heinous it was. Would I ever hurt my children?
Hurt a child, yeah.
Well, when I was a young man, my brother Neil and I watched The Exorcist together, and I'm sure you're familiar with the film.
Yes, I did. I watched it when I was 12.
Right. And after
that... That'll date me right there.
I'm sorry, sir? That dates you, yeah. And after that, I tried to burn my mother's arm with a cigarette.
That's just some kind of... Did you go in for counseling?
I did go in for counseling.
Well, no, I don't have that kind of an issue.
Would you tell your son to stop with the horns, the sheep?
This is the kind of disrespect that has been heaped upon me ever since I said I don't want to see no video because I might cut my son's throat from ear to ear.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, right. Now you watched Exorcist. That was heinous to you.
Have him stop that.
Stephen, and I will ask my wife, too, Phil, if you can give me a minute.
We'll have April or somebody.
Tell Stephen to close the door to his room, please. I watched The Exorcist when the little girl took the cross and did all that nonsense.
She did bad things to herself.
Yeah.
I understand that. I watched the movie, too, but again, it was a movie.
But I enjoyed that part. And that.
Oh, my God.
To me, tells you you need to step in. And do something for yourself.
Well, I can't believe my son rigged his computer so it can be heard by the pond. I'm so sorry.
All right, I'm going to... Gerald, thank you very much for a very cogent and sober series of thoughts. And I think that in many ways...
I'm very sorry, Mr. Henry. My son is a young man who has just turned 16. He is entering his junior year. He thinks he's just God's gift to the, you know...
All right, Gerald, thank you very much, sir.
Okay, you take good care, and hey.
When I saw Private Ryan, I found myself with a pillow over my daughter's face, and it was bad.
All right, Gerald, thank you.
Mr. Bozell.
Yes, sir.
Do us both a favor. Do us both a favor.
Yes, sir.
And go in, and hey, seek out what's climbing into your rear end.
Right, right. It's a good point, Gerald.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir, for your call.
Okay, see what he just did? That's like...
Well, what was that?
I don't know.
Well, have him turn it off, man. It's blowing my mind here. I'm trying to have an interview.
Stephen, I'm going to come up here and I'll cut you. Turn that stuff down. Turn that mess down up there.
You don't
want to
see the video.
I don't want to see no video, because if I see that video of a Nick Berg getting his head clipped off, I'll come up there and cut you. I'll do it.
Mr. Bozell.
Hold on, Phil. You hear what I'm saying, boy? Daddy, wait a minute. You turn those big sounds and everything else, you try to make me look like a fool on a national radio show. I'll come up there and I'll cut you open like a Christmas turkey. Ah, you're full of it. I'm full of it, huh? You watch and see. You try me, fat man. See, he don't care.
All right, I'm sorry. And,
you don't care, man.
And good night to you, Mr. Bozell.
Mr. Henry, I just want to leave you with one thought. That wasn't it.
Get these cats off my show, man, before I... I'm sure. I'll come up there. I will cut you. Unreal. Mr. Stephen Bozell, he sues everybody. We got to come out with a Phil Henry Show product for Steve. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to 86. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry, drug addict. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Time now for our nightly featured flashback. Bob Green and Harvey Wireman were on our program last night. Mr. Green is a grocer, a CEO, in fact, of a grocery chain, and Mr. Wireman, his attorney. Mr. Wireman's representing Mr. Green in a lawsuit. Robert Green is suffering from what they call American rage. He just is dying to call somebody a raghead, and yet he can't because it's not politically correct. Well, he did it anyway. He called his produce manager a raghead, even though the guy's from Singapore, and, well, just listen.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
For you to think that you have the audacity to be able to call someone a raghead, call someone names because of what a group of individuals did, is absolutely insane. David Koresh back in Waco, Texas. There's no reason for us to sit around and say that all white people are absolutely insane, because that's what you're doing.
The people who did this for David, call out a raghead guy. You know,
the people, there's no reason. How do you feel you can call someone a raghead when the majority of the people out there that are wearing towels in their heads are doing it for religious purposes?
They're
doing it
because that's right. American, I got American.
Just because you were born in the United States gives you no right to tell someone else they're wrong because they were born over there.
Chester, can I jump in? This is the attorney, Harvey Wireman. Chester, I want to just say to you, you sound like an intelligent young man, but you are making a mistake. You're fueling Mr. Green's rage right now. He has American rage toward these towel wrappers. And
could we, gentlemen, please?
See, there you go. You won't let me say towel wrapper. You won't let me say raghead. You won't let me say anything.
I'm absolutely enraged, because the reason I'm enraged right now, I'm absolutely upset because
we by no means
have equal rights in America. And for you to be an American and actually feel like you can run around and actually call someone else names is 100% ignorant.
It's called freedom of speech, sir. And you
freedom
should be allowed to categorize people
I know exactly
in
what
the way that you want.
And you as an attorney should have respect everyone's individual rights.
There's nothing wrong with calling a man a raghead. It's not hateful.
There's nothing wrong with this. What can we call you?
I've been called many things, sir, and I certainly don't sue people for I've been called a mug. I'm an attorney. How many things have you called attorneys over the years? Should I sue
you? I've never called an attorney one thing. I don't make a living.
Sir,
I'm calling people.
Now, sir, what are the reasons?
You're not very intelligent.
Well, excuse me.
Like
one of the reasons why I've always respected African-Americans is they're very truthful people. You, on the other hand, are lying.
So you're respecting African-Americans, but you want to call someone a sand N-word, right?
I don't respect you because you're lying.
Why call them a sand N-word?
Called me my profession many names, but you just lied about it. Now,
wait a minute. You can't say the man lied about it. He says he's never called attorneys a name.
Oh, give me a break. That sounds like the kind of guy that sues everybody just for winking at him the wrong way.
That's a good one. I can tell what kind of guy you are. You're one of the ones that would go and defend the guy who killed his wife and his wife's newborn kid. The kind of guy you are.
Mr. Wireman, are you saying that a man has the right to go in and shoot his wife and kids because he can't express his American rage?
Well, I mean, can I answer that?
Yeah, okay, because this guy's pissed.
Hey, Chester, just because you're a scaredy cat doesn't mean the rest of us have to be.
A scaredy cat?
Yeah, that's what you sound like to me.
Let me tell you something. I played football at the University of Arizona. I played against Pat Tillman. I know Pat Tillman very well. You think I'm not enraged by what's going on over there? I'm enraged about all the different things that are going on in every part of the world that we're involved in.
Yeah,
I feel complete sympathy for our soldiers, for our family, but I feel like as Americans, we're in the wrong as well. We're not doing everything 100% correct. We're not wrong.
How would you like
because these people, just because we have it, just because we can cover it up better. Can I please talk for a thing?
Hold on, gentlemen. There's a lot of talking going on over each other, and I just wanted to make sure everyone's being heard here. And
no, Mr. Henry, you're making me angry because you sound so even-tempered. Why don't you get angry?
I beg your pardon?
Why don't you get angry?
Because he's a man of integrity.
I'm trying to moderate this discussion.
Well, you sound too, there's too much equal. Why don't you get pissed off for once in your life, Mr. Henry? At least I respect Chester here, even though he's a liar, because he's
a liar.
Yeah, you're a liar.
I'm a liar. You're making a very bold assumption, Mr. Attorney.
You know what I'd like?
You're so intelligent. I'm a liar.
Chester,
how would you like it
if I walked up to you, Chester, and I said, Chester, the molester, you wouldn't like that, would you?
I would not like it.
It helps me unburden myself.
Unburden yourself? That's different from calling the guy. Now you're accusing the guy of being a child molester.
Okay, let me ask you this, Mr. Manager.
Hold on, Mr. Attorney.
Yes, sir. Can I ask you one question?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay, since you have such a problem with people that wear cows in their heads, why don't you go jump in a plane and go volunteer for you? United States Army and go over there and fight somebody there. Why don't you go find one of you up there? Why don't you put a gun in your hand and go over there and see if you can go over there and take care of these so-called cowheads?
May I answer that question? May I answer that question?
Sure, please.
I fought for this country in the North Pacific with the United States Marines in World War II, Chester the molester, so I know all of...
All right. Let's grow up.
This guy's trying to say I never picked up a gun. I fought the Japanese on Saipan.
I said, why don't you go do it
I fought the Japanese on Saipan, and now I'm having a hard time breathing.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
There he is, Harvey Wireman, Robert Greene, Phil Hendry, and Chester. All talking about, I don't know, what were they talking about? Oh, American rage. Why can't I call a guy a towel head? I'll tell you, I'm suffering from a hangover. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up next, Jeff Dowder and the story of him saving a little girl from a sand shark.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Let's get Jeff. Jeff?
Yes, sir.
How are you, man?
I'm doing really good. Thank you very much, Mr. Harry.
Tell me about what happened today at the pier at Huntington Beach. You saw, were you surfing there?
I was wakeboarding, which we've been surfing a little bit earlier in that day.
Okay, tell me about what happened. You saw a little girl in the water?
Yes, sir. I saw... the time I observed about a 9 or 10 year old girl is about 4 feet of water, and she's over near the pier, and that's when I saw the shark. And
now you saw a shark in the about 4 foot of water, right?
Yes, sir. They feed at night, and if you talk to, especially a couple of marine biologists they've got an office up at Huntington Beach, but they're from the Scripps Institute down there in La Jolla. And they'll tell you a lot of sharks will feed in shallow water at night. And we've had some experience with them down at the pier, so I grabbed her out of the water. And a lot of times just react on pure adrenaline. I just ran over to her.
And you saw this girl, and you saw the shark. Was it heading to her? Was it...
It was swimming near her, and I just took off running. I was yelling, and I started to yell, shark. So people in the vicinity would know that there was one in the water there, and I got over to her and I grabbed and pulled her out of the water. And you know,
does it come at you? Did the shark come at you?
Well, it came toward me, but I just sort of kicked at it. Most sharks will shy away from aggressive behavior. And plus, I've been surfing that beach for about the last 10 years.
Is everyone all right? Is the girl okay? Are you okay?
Yeah, we're both fine. She was shooken up and she was crying, but. When she got out of the water, her father was running over to us.
So the father saw this, huh?
Yes, sir. As far as I know, he saw some of it.
Was he must have been absolutely petrified.
He was concerned, that's for sure. He asked me, you know, if I was okay, and I said, yeah, and he thanked me, and I said, okay. And then he's walking away, and I said, you know, I saved your daughter from a shark, and...
he comes back down the sand and he goes, yeah, well, it was a sand shark. It was 2 foot. And that's when the situation started on it.
All right. As I understand, a situation developed, you say, between you and the father. Coming down to what? You had just pulled his daughter out of the water. And now you say it's a sand shark. It's 2 feet long?
Yes, sir, it is. But you need to understand, a sand shark is not that big. And this one, let's say it's 2 foot, but it does render a pretty painful bite. With that bite, obviously, comes blood, and that's when you have, if you've been reading about it in the newspaper, they have what's called a feeding frenzy, and that's when they can go in the water, and if she had been in the water and there had been a feeding frenzy, those sharks would have torn her apart. So
the father came down the sand and said thank you, and then what happened?
Well, he said, I appreciate the gesture, but it was just a sand shark, and I'm like, I'm sort of not understanding a lot of what's going on because I risked my life for his kid, and he's going to drive off in his Lexus or whatever, and he doesn't see the seriousness of the situation on account of that.
Jeff, I understand you told Janice all of this. You were hoping for a reward from the father. Is that right?
I think any time you put yourself out in the ocean for a child, and I mean, I didn't save her from drowning or anything, because it was not deep water.
It was 4 foot of water, right?
Yes, sir.
But you were concerned about the fact that there might have been a predatory animal in that area, that shark might have been a predatory animal, right?
Yes, sir.
Let's describe, what is a sand shark, do you know?
Yes, sir. A sand shark is not that big. It's a bottom feeder. It is not considered to be a man-eater. They do get from 4 to 6 foot at full size. This one was only 2 foot, but it does, as I said, render a pretty painful bite, and it can produce bleeding with the bite. And if you have bleeding, especially in the evening when the fishes are feeding, especially when the sharks is feeding, then you have a little bit of a situation. You know, I don't want to get graphic or anything, but it could have torn the kid apart.
But a sand shark isn't going to do that.
No, but if there's other predators in the area, it can.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number on the Phil Hendry Show. Mr. Dowder is on here. And you feel you were sort of given short shrift by this father. You picked his daughter up out of the water, and he didn't give you a reward, a monetary reward?
Yes, sir. I mean, I'm just basically on your program tonight to say that I did this, and yet he didn't really say how good it was. And
Do you have the man's name?
Yes, I do.
You do have his name?
Yes, sir.
How did you get his name? Did he give it to you?
No, sir, he did not.
How did you get his name?
Basically, I found out where his car was parked. I reached over the glove box. The car was open. It was a very hot day, and I checked out the name on the registration. I want to say that I don't want to stalk him or anything. I just think that he didn't offer me a reward at the time, and that is what is generally considered appropriate at the time when you save a kid, especially when you save someone's life. And I was hoping, because I love your show, Mr. Henry. I listen to it on most nights when I'm working. I was hoping you'd help me establish some communication so he'd give me a good reward for the kid.
The shark you describe is a sand shark of about 2 foot long. Some people are they called dogfish?
No, the dogfish is a different kind of shark. But
all right, but it's not considered a man-eater. Is it possible this father was grateful and said thank you? Did he ask how you were?
Yeah, he did ask after me, but he acted like, see, that's the thing, he acted like it was no big deal, and he doesn't understand, which I know, you know, the bite causes the blood that I saved her from.
Well, right, but nonetheless, it was not a life-threatening situation. He did thank you, and then they went on there. Why can't that be enough?
Well, right now I'm hoping that Governor Schwarzenegger considers Assembly Bill 22, which I know I support, along with other individuals who are at this beach quite a bit. It does make it mandatory to give a reward to a guy who helps a kid. And I've seen friends of mine out here help little kids in the water and stuff. They don't get any reward.
So if a citizen helps another citizen...
Well, primarily kids.
All right, Jeff, if you got reward money, what are we talking about here?
Well, I mean...
What would you do with it? What kind of reward money were you looking for from this father? What would you do with this money?
Me, I'd probably drop a new tranny and a new engine in my van.
That's at least $10,000. you saved this little girl from a sand shark. Okay?
Well, it's technically a shark, and you can ask anybody about it. Nobody wants to go in the ocean when there's a shark there, and I don't care if it's a sand shark or if it's a dogfish. And you're putting a price on a child. I saved her life.
You're asking for at least $10,000 for saving that girl's, which you consider to be a life-saving gesture by pulling her out of the water, because a new transmission and a new engine for your van is at least going to cost that. And
but you're putting a price on the life of the child, and I don't think you can do that. And I wouldn't do that. But I just would like to say to any parents out there, and also, I didn't read about anything about this in the newspaper or anything. I mean, basically, the whole thing has just been swept under the rug.
Jeff, did you want a local report? I'm having a hard time following you.
Well, there wasn't anybody from Channel 9 News or anything want to talk about it.
Are you asking that Channel 9 and the local TV stations cover the fact that you pulled this girl out of the water?
Yes, sir, I am. And even though, like I said, it's no big thing, I went and I did it. And now nobody cares about it. And the situation could have been much worse. Obviously, that father's in denial of some kind of what could have happened. And that's why he doesn't understand that a reward should be offered to me on account of that. And if that shark had bitten her, she would have fallen in the water and probably drowned. Because even 4 inches of water you can drown in. Never mind about 4 feet.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. I don't know about it in terms of sand sharks or whatever. Do you think it's appropriate for people who, once they save someone's life, that they go and ask for a reward? Because that's what he's asking for on our show. A little girl was out at the beach today. He saw a shark. Well, a sand shark can get up to 6 feet, but this thing was about 2 feet long, and it doesn't really eat people. It bites at things, and when it bites at a human, it doesn't like the taste. In any event, I would commend the young man for at least going in there and pulling her out of the water, but he's asking the father for $10,000. He even went into the guy's glove box and got the guy's address and name. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I lost $2 from the same machine 2 nights in a row, and the guy wouldn't come back and help me out.
Why don't you just tell the guy that you lost the $2?
Because he used tokens. And I said, okay, I got like $10 worth of tokens, and I was going to go over to use... Basically, they just got one of those cheap Sega racing games, and he wouldn't give the money back.
Well, he shouldn't go there. We're back here with Jeff Dowder, our number, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Dowder, you pulled a girl out of the water at Huntington Beach today because you said a shark was imminent. A shark seemed to be presenting itself for an attack. The father thanked you, but pointed out that it was a sand shark. And
but the point is, Mr. Henry, for anybody that don't know about sharks, it was a shark. And the technicality of that needs to be made clear, because that's when I said, and the dude turns around and goes, well, thanks a lot. He's walking away, and I said, okay, what's that about? And he goes, what? I said, I just pulled your kid. She could have got bit or whatever, and he didn't even want to offer a reward. And I think a reward, are you kidding? I mean, it was a shark.
But coming on a radio show and asking for one.
But it was the only way that I knew how. To say that I need to have a reward, I see everybody else get rewards for stuff.
Well, you know something, Jeff? Seeing everybody else getting rewards for stuff, we need to define some of that, okay? Let me go over here to Adam. Adam, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. My producer tells me you're a shark aficionado, sir.
That is correct, Phil. Good evening to you.
Good evening, yes.
Jeff is completely off base. A sand shark is completely innocuous. They're essentially... They are essentially a giant catfish.
But they will bite is the point I'm trying to make.
It takes a maximum amount of provocation on the part of whoever is messing with them to entice an attack out of this fish.
Well,
I mean, I'm sorry. It's the notion.
But it is a shark, isn't it?
It is a shark.
Okay, that's true, but
it is completely innocuous. It has no interest whatsoever in human beings. It sifts through the sand for crabs.
That's all it does. That's almost like saying, Jeff, you want a reward because you scared a cat away from the kid.
That is very accurate.
That is very accurate.
There could have been great panic if I hadn't pulled the kid out.
Jeff, I would have greater sympathy for you, sir, if you had pulled her out of the way of a legitimate tiger shark or a white pointer. But you were not in any imminent danger, and neither was the child, and that's the fact of the occasion.
I'd like to point out...
The child was in no imminent danger whatsoever.
I want to point out to you, sir, a movie that maybe you heard about. It's called Jaws.
I have heard of that film, and that was a Carcharodon carcharias, a great white shark. A shark that bites with 1,500 pounds per square inch, with a bite radius, generally speaking, anywhere from, I'm not even going to get into the technical details of it, the bottom line.
You obviously know your stuff, and Jeff, I would say that what he's describing is a fish that...
It was not a fish, it was a shark.
All right, a shark, though, I'm not going to deny that it was a shark.
Jeff, I'm not going to debate the terminology of ignorance with you. The fact of the matter is, although this shark presents a fearsome look and does have teeth that protrude, it looks similar to a mako shark, which is a dangerous fish. But this shark swims. It skims beaches for crabs, and that's it. That's really all it does.
Are you a marine biologist, sir, or...
No, I'm not. I'll tell you this right now, but I've probably seen more shark documentary footage and spent more time in libraries researching this animal than you have ever seen.
Okay,
and, I've spent more time with that than you probably ever done, sir.
This is just a hobby, man. You're just a dude with a hobby.
Absolutely, but I'll tell you this much.
A lot of guys with hobbies, a lot of amateurs are relied upon by professionals sometimes because they've got more time to study than the professionals do.
Have you ever been in a shark cage?
I've actually free swam with bull sharks, and those are legitimate. Those are more legitimate hazards to human life than any other fish in the water.
A bull shark is lethal.
A bull shark is split second lethal. They do not discriminate. They do attack.
Wow. That's...
This was not a tiger shark you were up against.
Hey, Adam, this was a... Yes, sir. Adam, let me ask you. Do sharks attack humans for food, or do they attack us by mistake?
Oftentimes, Phil, it is mistaken identity because human beings are not a legitimate prey item for them. It is mistaken identity. They're mistaken for other marine mammals like a seal or sea lion.
And wouldn't a shark... I'm told that sharks will retreat in the face of aggressive behavior. Most
of your smaller species, including especially the gray nurse shark, which this man encounters.
Okay, great. You're just cutting me right out of the conversation, I see.
I can't help it that you're begging for money
for doing basically nothing but scaring a child. You probably scared the child more than the fish.
What are you talking about, man? You're talking like you think you jacked over something.
You scared a child more than the fish did by screaming shark on an open beach. I mean, that's just ignoramus-like. I'm sorry, sir.
Where do you live, man?
I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh my God, there's not even an ocean there, man. I'm down at the ocean every day. I see oceans all the time.
My friend, I swam in the Gulf off of Panama City, and anybody who knows anything knows that the trench out in Panama City Beach, just below,
that's sand shark.
The Gulf tiger sharks go in there to mate and deposit their young.
That's like family swimming in Lake Superior.
If you knew anything about the animal whatsoever, you would know that swimming in the Gulf is probably more dangerous
than swimming anywhere
in California.
Well, what do you think, Huntington Beach isn't even...
You're not even going to find white pointers around there because there is no rocky coast.
There is no rocky coastline for any major predators to come in there and feed.
That's very good, Adam, and I appreciate the line.
Okay, first of all, you never swam it in a shark cage. You never...
The guy said that he was down in the Gulf and he's been around sharks, bull sharks.
Yeah, bull something else.
Okay.
All right.
How many shark cages have you actually been in, Jeff, in open water? How many shark cages have you been in, sir?
I have not yet.
I have not yet been
in a shark cage.
That's right.
Not
the closest
yet.
The closest you've come to a dangerous species of shark, Jeff, has been in a museum.
I've been surfing the waters. I've been surfing off Huntington, Newport, Dana Point, and I've seen shark brave waters.
In some water park somewhere on your little boogie board. God bless you for
it. I don't have no boogie board, man. I got an antique Greg Knoll 8-foot stick. Hey, how many sand sharks have you wrestled with? None. Okay, thank you.
Wrestled with a sand shark? Oh, my God. You might as well have been wrestling with your pet ferret. That is so ridiculous.
Guys like you, man, you think you know so much, but I'm out there picking up a kid and dragging her out of there.
You scared the kid more than the fish did. That's the funny part about this whole conversation.
All right, Adam, I thank you very much. That was
interesting. Thank you. Have a good night, Phil. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
That guy wasn't a professional marine biologist. He's not an oceanographer, and yet you gave him respect like he was talking to Jim Cousteau himself. And all because of...
What do you mean, Jim Cousteau? You mean Jacques Cousteau?
My understanding is it's Jim. That's what I've read.
Okay, well, you read wrong, man. It's Jacques. And that guy is like a lot of amateurs. They have a great deal of knowledge. They, involve themselves in a topic. Look, we get back to Mr. Doubter's discussing whether he should get a reward for rescuing a girl from a 2-foot sand shark today out at the beach. He's demanding $10,000 from the girl's father. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
You hear what I'm playing?
Okay, man, that's very funny, but I will tell you this. Okay, it was this 2-foot sand shark, okay?
You hear that? Its jaws is coming, man.
Okay, it's real funny, man. I mean, if I could make a point, or do you just want to be a clown?
Here it comes.
Do you just want to be a clown? I mean, do you want to be a clown, Mr. Henry, or Mr. Henry? Mr. Henry?
I'm right here, man. I'm sorry. I was just goofing around with the music, okay?
Well, you can goof around with the music, and that's fine. And yeah, it was a 2-foot sand shark that I went and I got the girl and I pulled her out of the water from the sand shark. Okay? And
you knew it was a sand shark too, didn't you? And you ran yelling shark anyway, didn't you?
Well, I mean
you ran over there pretending like it was a bad scene, hoping you could get money out of her father.
Let me tell you something about the law. The law recognizes the best of intentions. I had honorable intentions. You've never heard about honorable intentions. But I had honorable intentions when I pulled that girl out of the... Okay, I mean, if you want to clown around...
No, man, I mean, if you're talking about a deadly sand shark, I thought I'd get the Jaws theme going here.
Okay, I mean, we can talk about this, or... I saw Jaws, man, that's about where the girl got her leg clipped.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Carl. Hello, Carl.
Hi.
Yes, sir, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Listen, this guy is an idiot. You don't go out and save a child and then demand a reward. My God, man, if you were in the area and it truly was a life-threatening situation, even then you wouldn't demand a reward. What kind of honor have you got?
Wait a minute. It's generally considered appropriate to ask a reward
of some kind.
No,
on account
of
you saved a life.
Appropriate to ask a reward.
Well, like, for instance,
I spent 13 years in the Navy, and I pulled a lot of guys out of the water with cramps or whatever that they had a potential of drowning.
What's that got to do with what I did?
My life?
What's that? I'm not talking about a guy with a tummy ache. I'm talking about a shark that was going to go after a kid.
I've been swimming in the water where sharks showed up a lot of times.
Okay.
I've been in the Navy for 13 years.
How long were you in the Navy for?
Pardon me?
How long were you in the Navy for?
What was I in the Navy for?
Yeah, why did you join the Navy?
Why?
Why, yeah.
Because I was defending our country, you idiot.
By what? Wrestling sharks?
Have you been in the service?
I've been in the service. Yeah, I've been in the service of a frat party one night.
Oh yeah, that's probably right. About it.
Look, where are we going here, gentlemen?
You know, well, I'm trying to talk to this guy about sand shark.
The guy should have offered to share a beer with you, maybe, and that would have been overdone.
Well, wait a second.
You're a jerk.
Oh my God, man! You're down at the beach, and your little girl, and a shark comes at her, and I pull her out of the water. The least you can do is kick in a C note. Right?
Yeah, antagonize the hell out of them, make them dive at you, huh?
Hey, are you trying to tell me that after I pulled your grandkid or some whatever you got, some little great-grandchild out of the water, and I said, hey, Carl, how about making with a C-note, man? You'd lunge at me? God, that's rude, dude.
My nephew fell off a cliff into the water and damn near drowned, and I dove in and grabbed him and pulled him up and I didn't expect my brother to reward me the rest of my life or buy me a new motor.
Well, you should have, man, because if I was that brother, I'd be stepping up to the plate. Hey, do you got a tattoo of an anchor or something like that?
What would you step up to the plate with if you can't even afford an engine and transmission for your truck? You're an idiot.
Oh, I'm okay.
You hang out at the beach. You're a beach bum. You hang out over there hoping that something will happen where you can scrape up a few bucks to go buy your next case of beer.
I think Carl finally hit the nail on the head.
Wait just a minute, man. This guy pushed his nephew off a cliff, then dove in and pretended like he was saving him. Do you eat spinach like Popeye? Hey, Carl.
You are a complete idiot. I pushed my nephew off a cliff and then dove in to save him.
Sure.
That'd be a great idea.
Dude, that'd be a great idea. That's a great way to make some money, Carl.
Hey, okay,
I got to split, man, because they got Balboa
like
bars. They're going to close the Balboa bar stand here in a couple of minutes. I'll go
for
get
a guy
it.
Like you, it might be a great way to make some money.
Hey, Carl, you know this song? In the Navy, you can meet and sleep with guys in the Navy.
Okay, that's rude, dude. Very rude.
I'll tell you what, you can do all the slandering you want.
I bet you were the Indian in the village,
people.
There's
protecting your ass right now.
Protecting my ass?
There's people over there.
I'm over there.
Their lives
on
for
the
your
beach,
ass,
pulling out
a
sand shark,
a money
and a little girl, and the father won't even help me put a new transmission in my van?
Why should he?
You know.
Why should he?
Hey, Carl.
I'm a sailor man,
I live in a garbage can. I need all the worms that live at the bottom. I'm probably the garbage can.
This guy's, I think he's stoned, man. I think he's high.
Well,
Carl, thank you.
I think the guy is out of his head.
Okay, well, Carl, thank you for your service in the United States Navy. And
were you a lifeguard?
Pardon me?
Never mind.
No.
1-800, yeah, it's...
Hey, Carl, I bet you guys had to eat saltpeter when you was out in the ocean all them months and years.
See you later, Carl.
Bye, Carl. Bye, Carl. See you later, sailor.
Hang up on him. Jesus, guy.
Hey, Carl, was you on Baywatch?
Will you get him out of here? Yeah, one of the great naval shows. All right, that's Jeff Dotter. He ain't going to get nickel one. Carl hit it on the head. There's a million guys like this hanging around the pier down at the beach. You know, hey, man, I'll wash your windshield for you. You know, if you give me money for a burger, and they're like 40, just completely sunbaked, sleeping under the pier at night. 1-800-449-8686. World-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. It's not news. It's the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All I want's enough money to drop a transmission in my van. There's Jeff. Phil Henry Show. And our number is 1-800-449-8686. That's how you call us. If you'd like to know more about our show, if you've just joined us and you're wondering, what in hell is this? You go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, and it'll tell you all you need to know. You can get a backstage pass that accesses past archived material, archived comedy. We have the deepest archive of radio comedy in the world, on the planet Earth. And we also have a kind of a cute little memory lane coming up later in the week that goes all the way back to our Miami days. Somebody actually requested something from them, and we found it. So go to our website. We have a souvenir shop as well. You can get a cooler there with a built-in AM/FM radio, all ready for Father's Day. It's a brand new item in our souvenir shop. It holds 16 12-ounce cans and ice, a detachable built-in AM/FM radio. That means it unzips. The whole thing's made out of vinyl. You can wrap it up, roll it up, whatever you want to do. It's got a shoulder strap. It's got carrying handles. It's insulated. And it's perfect for Father's Day. I think your dad would dig it if he goes golfing, if he just wants to kick it at the beach. There it is. And he's got the radio on it, too. And we also would like to alert to you to the fact that we have the new I Love Phil women's T-shirts. This is a 100% soft cotton T-shirt. It's a form-fitting cap-sleeve contrast-stitch T-shirt. Only the women listening know what that is, but I'm sure it means something to you. And it's cool. It says, I love Phil. Don't you? And then we have Phil's garden set combo. Can you believe this, man? We got a garden set. It's a combo stool, bag, and cooler. Plus five-piece garden tool set. Durable portable stool. Insulated cooler. Tote bag. You notice that all of our items have coolers. It goes without saying. That's a requirement. When they say to me, Phil, we want to put something in the store, a new item, I said, I want a cooler with that thing, man. So let's say, for instance, where we're getting some shot glasses in. Put a cooler with it. And then, of course, our Ted's of Beverly Hills Deluxe Barbecue Set. And why shop at Target when you can go to the Phil Henry Show Souvenir Shop? What do you need to go and get all that cheap crap? You can get your cheap crap right online at www.philhenryshow.com. All of this talk, I don't know how Mark and I got on it during the commercial break. We're talking about vacations. All of this talk about coolers and kicking it on a beach someplace, and we were just shooting back and forth places we've been. See, me, the beach is the best place. But when I say the beach is the best place, I want to go someplace that's, like, far away, a faraway beach. I mean, I can go up the coast here, where we go, Carpinteria Beach or something like that. But when we go on vacation, I like to go somewhere where there's going to be a guy going, it's hot today, isn't it, senor? Yes, it is. It really is. I guess I'm going to have my 10th margarita. Certainly, senor. Nobody's hassling you. Nobody's saying, don't you think you've had enough, sir? Or state regulations means we have to cut you off at 10. Oh, God. No. What is it any wonder you want to get out of this country to go on vacation? As much as I love my wonderful homeland of America, it's getting tougher and tougher to have a couple of laughs around here. Everybody wagging a finger in your face. That's illegal pour, sir. Can't have this and you can't have that. Got to do this and you got to do that. And, you know, Mexico, what a deal. And do you realize that everything down there is union, man? I used to feel kind of guilty going to Mexico and staying at some of those resorts or some of those hotels, or even the little crappy hotels, until I found out those guys are all in the union. Oh, yeah, man. The Hotel and Restaurant Workers Union in Mexico is incredibly powerful. So I don't know why I brought that up. I know, to assuage my guilt about having a good time in a foreign country. Anyway, at least it ain't Jamaica, which, you know, with all due respect to my friend Mr. Newman, I can't go to Jamaica because there's too much just abject poverty there. Like, in Mexico, there's poverty, but everybody down there seems to be happy about it. I'll tell you one thing, like I said, and I've often said this, the Mexican people they're a really tough people, but they're a non-confrontational people. They're not going to get into it with you unless you'd like to, and then, yeah, they'll leave you where they find you. But they are the sweetest people in the world, and they are a artistic people, and I love going down there. And we just got back from that new place down there in Cabo, called the Palmia Resort. This joint is unbelievable. miles and miles of white, sugary sand. Beautiful turquoise white. Have you ever been to Cancun? Have you been to Cozumel? Great, great snorkeling, great scuba diving. The water is the color. I'm telling you, Janice, just, you know turquoise? It's exactly turquoise. And it's about 80 degrees. And if you go to Cozumel or Cancun, the body surfing is incredible. The waves are beautiful. It ain't like you're going into the Gulf, you know, of Mexico. Like people, you know what, thank you very much, but no. Marco Island, I'd rather just, or whatever the hell that thing is, you know, off the Florida.
We go to Sarasota in the wintertime.
What am I, want to just stand there and look at a flat lake? Yeah, surf's up. And then what you do is you, but this Palmia down in Cabo, long stretches of white sandy beach. And then they got one of them swim-up bars that I always like. And you can sit there and drink and just stay seated, and you don't have to go to the men's room because I'm kidding around. I would never do that. And then they have a restaurant there. The food is unbelievable. You know, real Mexican food is unbelievable. I mean, real Mexican food. You know, that great... all the fish dishes that they have, and the shrimp that they do, and the relleno. I mean, real chili relleno, not some crap that you're buying at some local Mexican restaurant. I mean, a stuffed chili. And then they got the tequilas, and they've got the cervezas, and the cat. All they can say is, another one, sir? You know, and how can I adjust that chair, sir? And all of that crap. And nobody's got a freaking attitude about it, right? Then you pop in the car. You drive up to a place called Todos Santos. Yes, it's up there on the coast. And that is where the American and Canadian artists have settled and want you to believe that they're now native Mexican people. And they just are living a simple life. Yeah, uh-huh. Their bank accounts are up in San Francisco. Did I tell you about that one? My wife goes, we must go to Todos Santos. Well, what are you talking about? We have to go. I want to see the artisans. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I get in some bus, you know, with chickens in the back. You know, I'm driving along with dysentery. You know, these people are all... guys stopping every 3 minutes. We finally get up to this Todos Santos. And it's one of these towns. I mean, it's the only part of Mexico I could take it or leave it, because there's all kinds of Yanks and Canadians there. And they're all relocated artists. And what does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. It means they ain't having to pay the big taxes down in Mexico. They got to pay in the States. And they've reinvented themselves as sort of native artisans. So when you go down there and buy some of their stuff, you're thinking you're buying it from a Mexican artist. You're buying it from some schmuck with a bank account in San Rafael. My wife bought a sculpture from this guy. His name is something like Morty Schmidt. Yeah, it's great, Morty. And he's talking like this. Down here in Mexico, the way we barbecue, I mean, what's this we? You got a rocket in your pocket there, Ace? We stuff, man. Cat's got a house in San Francisco, B of A in San Rafael. If you wouldn't mind wiring the funds to the States, I don't trust these But Maria, you know, she's a sweetheart. She went ahead and bought like $85 billion worth of crap that I had to put in my lap in this bus. Senor, we're going to be leaving soon. And then as we're driving back, Todos Santos has the original Hotel California. The Hotel California. So when you hear the song, on the little main drag in Todos Santos, Mexico, is Hotel California, which of course now is a tourist trap. But at the time the Eagles sang about it, I guess it was where all the rock stars went and OD'd on cocaine. And as we're driving back, the driver, who would like to sing Hotel California? Who? Huh? You? This guy was unrelenting. You know how most cats are just, okay, nobody, all right, great. No, this guy's, who? You? What about you? No? No? What about you? No? Who wants to sing it? You? Oh, okay, I'll sing it, man. Mr. Henry, you sing Hotel California? Yes, I will. You? Yes. You will? Yes! So he plays this song over the PA, and I went, on a dark desert highway, blue wind in my... And I played the song so many times as a disc jockey. I mean, I just played it to death, and I don't particularly like the tune. I really don't dig Hotel California. I think it's like the most long, laboriously dull song. And I, you know, welcome to the hotel. And everybody's singing, welcome to the hotel. We all got dysentery, you know, we're all green gilled, you know, eating all that... marvelous food. Who else wants to sing it? You? You?
What about you? Or you? Or you? I love it, man. I love it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.